schools across America have been affected in many different ways by the pandemic. Ted Dentersmith is the founder of What Schools Could Be and has visited many states, including Indiana, and has discovered some things about schools and how they've reacted to the pandemic and what schools could be. So let's talk to Ted Dentersmith right now. And Ted, you've actually made a name for yourself with innovation, and we want to get to that part here in just a minute. But what is it that you've found out about schools, and maybe we'll talk particularly about schools in Indiana as far as the way they've been affected by the pandemic?
Yeah, I spent the last decade going all over the country, so I've been to Indiana multiple times and visited way too many schools, you know, lots and lots of schools. I'd say a couple of things. Our classroom teachers have real expertise. If we trusted them, they know how to challenge kids with the types of learning in, put in front of kids the types of learning challenges that bring out the best in kids. What gets in their way is we have these policies and high stakes data-driven tests we jam down the throats of our kids that I think are really taking the joy out of learning, not preparing kids for life as adults and demoralizing teachers. And so that issue is not a little issue. It's affecting millions of kids, their futures, and the futures of communities, states, and nations.
And you say not necessarily preparing kids for life. What do you think could be done differently that could, in effect, prepare kids for life that's not being done now?
Yeah, there's a trade-off between do you care more about data or do you care more about the future of kids? If you care about data, you say we're going to standardize curriculum, have all kids prepare for the same test so we can rank them. Now, it turns out when you look at that, the curriculum is largely fact-based. Kids go through the motions. They don't care about it. They don't see any point in it. No one has produced evidence that it leads to really deep learning, student engagement, or prepared kids. What do we want? We want adults who can identify problems that they think are important, organize their own time, draw on resources around them, create a bold initiative, carry it out, and produce something they're proud of that has positive impact. That set of skills, those character traits, those are largely missing from school. And when we, in fact, push kids into a narrow box and diminish their creativity, their curiosity, their audacity, we're not serving them well long term. And to me, that disconnect is not a little thing. It's a massive thing that is leaving lots of young adults vulnerable and exposed.
Well, Indiana, as you know, having visited here multiple times, puts a lot of time and energy, has put a lot of time and energy into this ILEARN test. And that's the standardized test here. And I think they use that, to determine where kids are, but they also, have kind of another set of curricula that they look at, and they also, at least, where my kids go to school, they do help develop kids creatively in different ways. What is it that What Schools Could Be does? What are you suggesting that school systems, how they adapt to this?
We encourage, and we actually draw on what's working in the field. So we're not one of these groups that sort of comes along and says, we know better, here it is, take it or leave it. We really work hard to get out, understand from classroom teachers and principals what leads to great student learning, what leads to students who can't wait to be in school during the day. When do kids actually a month or 2 months later remember what they learned before? And so it doesn't have to be all of school, but I think most people, in fact, I've not yet to meet anyone who wouldn't say it should be some of school, where you ask kids, what do you want to learn? We'll support you to go deep on it, create or produce something that shows what you learned or teach other people what you learned. That type of learning challenge and learning environment where kids have voice in what they learn, see a real-world connection, where teachers are guiding, coaching, critiquing, and inspiring instead of instructing, that is what transforms kids. That's what brings kids to life. I think that's what motivates kids. And I think what we've seen during the pandemic, right, is that the instruction-driven, I'm going to talk at you for most of the class period and then test you on your ability to recall facts, that really didn't work in person, and it completely fell apart on Zoom. Whereas kids, to use the analogy of learning how to fish versus being fed fish, kids that know how to fish, whether their school fishing hole was closed, they can find someplace else. They go deep on what they care about.
So you talk about a new platform. What is this new platform? How does it work?
Yeah, it brings people together. It's a virtual online community. So if you're a teacher, and we've gotten great pickup, but if you are looking for advice, inspiration, coaching, collaboration with other like-minded, you know, educators who are really fighting for the future of their kids, who want to create those kinds of distinctive learning experiences, we bring those groups together. We provide great video-based resources that show things that have worked in the field with an attitude that's not copy this, but what do you think of this? I mean, is this interesting? Are you doing something like it? Asking them to tell us what they're doing that's interesting, and then generally building a set of conviction that we can do this and we're not alone.
And would this be something that would be integrated into the state school system, or is it something that individual teachers could take advantage of, or individual students? How would that work?
Yeah, great question. The platform is broad, and it enables any participant to form communities they care about. So if you found a set of teachers in Gary that got interested, they could set up their own private group among teachers in a school. If you found schools in South Bend that wanted to work together, they could co-innovate and form their own group. And so, and we've seen lots of pickup in some states. So we're seeing things done at the state level in some states, but as many private communities or public communities, but most people prefer it to be private, as you want to form, you can form and then share perspectives, draw on resources, ask questions, generally just support, coach each other up, and get excited about what can be done.
How do you pitch this?
Well, I haven't had to. You know, it's been interesting. We just sort of put it out there softly about a month ago, and we've got over 1,000 active participants in there asking all sorts of questions, you know, drawing on things we've worked on for 10 years, you know, giving us feedback about, boy, this is working, or can we do something in this area, or whatever. And so it's a bit taking off, you know, on its own, which is great. But, you know, when people go to whatschoolcouldbe.org, you know, we're, you know, our engagement numbers, like of everybody that people that sign up, we're, I think it's 70% are using it very regularly, which is a bit unheard of. And so we're excited. And I think it's been a tough year. Teachers have been through a meat grinder. They've been heroes. And I think finding a place you can go, a safe, secure, you know, alternative to Facebook, where you're surrounded by other people that are going to cheer you on when you do things that go against, you know, mandated policies you don't believe in, it's very encouraging. And to your question before, which I sort of skipped over about the eye test, you know, I'm a fan of standardized tests focused on learning how to learn skills. So early grade, learning how to learn skills used thoughtfully and diagnostically. So I'm not saying all these tests are bad. I think the problem is, as kids get further in school, we up the intensity and the stakes on those tests. We keep kids from graduating high school because they can't pass, particularly, math standardized tests. And I've got a good math background. The math on those tests is something that almost no adult uses. And it's just like, it's heartbreaking. Why would we keep a kid, block a kid's life prospects because they can't, you know, factor polynomials when not even scientists or engineers are doing that? I mean, it's just a legacy of stuff that was there back when I was in school before computers that really should be put to pasture.
There seem to be a lot of people who agree with those sentiments these days.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, I promise you, it's not a political thing. It's not a partisan issue. I've done forums all over the country. And when people look at a school where kids are working joyfully, collaboratively on big projects that make their community better, where teachers love being in school, they're trusted to engage and inspire their kids, nobody says that's a bad idea. You know, I mean, people say, yes, bring it on. And if the price we pay is not being able to have a steady stream of data that tells us we're making no progress on boring curriculum that nobody wanted to take on in the first place, I say that's a fairly modest price to pay for far better learning.